Oh, thank you, Connor. You have your Bibles, you want to turn to Matthew, the 21st chapter. And we'll read verses 1 through 17 in just a moment. Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 1, and we'll read through verse 17. This is Palm Sunday. The stage is set. The curtain rises. The last act of the drama begins. Here comes Jesus into Jerusalem. Perhaps 2.5 million people crowded those narrow streets, converging on this holy city at Passover time. Garments were spread on the road, branches torn from trees fanned the air, which carried shouts of Hosanna, Hosanna. You see, all of this was no accident. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. In advance, he had arranged for a donkey. Two disciples brought it to him. It was no accident that marked his mode of transportation. Matthew reveals that Jesus set the stage for what we now call Holy Week so as to fulfill the prophecy spoken centuries before in Zechariah 9 and in Isaiah 62. The words of these two prophets are echoed in Matthew 21, verse 5, when he says, "Say to the daughter of Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey." If you're able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? Matthew, the 21st chapter, beginning with verse 1. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethpage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. "Say to your daughter Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and placed their cloaks on them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." Jesus entered the temple courts and drove out all who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of money changers and benches of those selling doves. "It is written," he said to them, "My house will be called a house of prayer, but you are making it a den of robbers." The blind and the lame came to him at the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple courts, "Hosanna to the Son of David," they were indignant. "Do you hear what these children are saying?" they asked him. "Yes," replied Jesus. "Have you never read from the lips of children and infants, 'You, Lord, have called forth your praise?'" And he left them and went out of the city to Bethany, where he spent the night. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. Call it the first century or the 21st century. The picture remains the same. Let's take a close look at this king. The king who enters Jerusalem on a donkey walks by foot to the hillside of Olivet. From that perspective, overlooking the city he loves and for which he wept, the Bible says. He refuses to give a campaign speech or a rah-rah speech as any earthly leader might do. Instead, he tells it like it is. He predicts the domestic breakdown, the economic catastrophe, wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes and famine, and all of the horrible desolation which you and I bring upon each other. That's the kind of king he is. He tells us what we need to hear instead of what we want to hear. He talks more than about positive thinking. He talks more about just picking yourself up and by your bootstraps and getting on with life. He tells you that you cannot succeed ultimately in your own strength. He warns you to face up to it now and to come to him while you can. Your king is coming. His approach demands your response. Either you are with him or you are not. There is no neutral ground. Today we are singing hosannas, which literally means save now. We have to ask ourselves, do we really mean this? Are we really serious? Have we come because it's the nice thing to do, or are we here because we truly mean business with God? I want to tell you about my friend Jack. He thought of himself as a very religious man. He also thought of himself as a ladies' man. Even in college, I don't know how he got all the women, but he did. He lived a full life. He had his own beliefs. In fact, although Jack claimed to be religious, he had no king. He had no Lord. Well, that's not exactly true. He did have a king. The king's name was Jack. He did have a Lord. It was Jack. Oh, he went through forms of religious practice. He would not miss church on Palm Sunday. He used to slip in and sit on the back pew. But Jack's problem was he committed himself to Jack and Jack only. He was on the throne of his life. He let people know that he was not offended by Jesus and talked about religious things, even talked about Jesus. He went to church and even gave an offering. But Jack was his own Lord. He got turned off by most preaching. Either it was not heartfelt or it was too emotional, but yet he would not miss church. He didn't even like preaching about hell or preaching that seemed a little personal, about stepping on his toes. He wanted smooth talk about heaven. He wanted great talk about love. He hated preaching that quoted too much from the Bible. He liked the illustrations and jokes much better. He really liked those TV preachers that motivated you and gave and had great music. You see, my friend Jack was turned off by too much religious talk and certainly thought there was way too much emphasis on money. After all, he went to church most Sundays. When something didn't get in the way or he felt like it. Some people might ask, how did he get that way? He had an interest in Christ. He had an interest in the church. He had an interest in religious things. How does he get to a place like that? Well, the first thing I would tell you, he had a false concept and a lack of understanding about what Christ meant when he said, take up your cross and follow me. I am going away, but there is one that will come alongside you and will do greater works than even I have done. You see, Jesus tried on many occasions and used opportunities, even during his earthly ministry, to prepare the multitudes for his time of crisis that was coming. Many failed to grasp the significance of what he was trying to tell them. Right up until the very end, they had false concepts of this Jesus and his kingdom. Even most of all, the disciples had their own preconceived ideas about what he was supposed to do. Even though Jesus said in John 12, 22, 32 to 34, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all peoples to myself. And then he said, signifying what death he would die. The people answered him, we have heard from the law that the Christ remains forever. How can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? How many times do we fail to hear things because we already have an idea of what someone is trying to tell us? How many times do we cut them off and say, think we assume and know what they're going to say when we find that it may not be exactly what we thought? We have to ask ourselves, how many times did the multitudes and even the disciples hear Christ's message and still did not completely understand? You see, my friend Jack heard many times about Christ. He heard preached many times about our need to take up our cross, but for some reason, he was unable to grasp the fact that Jesus told his disciples that he was going away. Somehow he missed the fact that Jesus is calling every believer to take up our cross and to follow him daily. Somehow Jack missed the part that said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Somehow Jack missed the message that this is not just a Sunday event, but this is a daily life and walk that we have. And that is the only way that we're going to find the true peace that the Bible tells us about. It's the only way we're going to get healing. It's the only way that we're going to find happiness is when we truly understand that the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he is shouting to us on a daily basis, that we must absorb him into our lives, not just a few biblical concepts, not just a few religious traditions, not just some things that we have interpreted as truth for ourselves by reading a passage of scripture. He wants us to understand the gospel. And every day, as he walked with his disciples, he didn't just tell them, he showed them. He didn't just shout at them, he lived it. He explained over and over again, just like my friend Jack, who heard many times, but just could not grasp what the scriptures were telling because his own preconceived ideas about what Jesus was to do in the gospel itself. We find that Jesus fulfilled every prophecy up until that time. How could anyone that was a believer doubt? We have historical documents. We have hundreds of things to prove to us that Jesus walked on this earth, that he did miracles. We have many accounts that what he said was true, and yet we still have believers that doubt. We still have people that try to put religion in their frame of reference, into their traditions, into how they believe, to compartmentalize this Christ into what you already have when he's come to tear it down and to build a new structure in you and in his disciples that will truly give you the peace and the joy and the power and the love and all those things we seek when we come to him. Even though his disciples saw many things, witnessed his life, his power, his healings, the crowds and the multitudes, many missed it because the people of Israel in that day had a strong concept already fixed in their minds as what was expected from the Messiah and how he could rule. In fact, because of their distorted view, their hearts could not grasp the full significance of what Jesus was saying to them. And I would ask you today, isn't that true today as well? Isn't it true? As Jesus was sharing with his followers, they were already beginning to lose faith in him because he was not doing exactly like they thought he should or their perceived notion. Even Jesus, his closest disciples, had the same problem. In fact, as recorded in Matthew 16:22, one disciple asked, "Lord, who has believed our report?" And then Peter took our Lord aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." And here we find Peter, who had just received the revelation of who Christ was, still holding to his false preconceived ideas about this man, Jesus. These false pretenses and false ideas were preventing him from seeing the full picture of how Jesus' kingdom was to be revealed. As a result, his belief in Christ was not able to be strengthened beyond his limited perspective. You see, this kind of preconceived thinking contributed to Peter's weakened condition in his moment of trial and crisis when he denied even knowing Jesus. And later, we know that Peter knew he missed an opportunity to demonstrate his faith. He understood after the fact about his preconceived ideas and his denial of really understanding the Jesus as he is and not from what he thought he should be. He then knew that he and the others had been dull of hearing. He and the other disciples allowed their false conceptions to harden their hearts to the hearing of the truth. They were selective in what they heard. And so it was the same for my friend Jack. He was selective in what he heard. He heard the old story. He listened to preachers. He sang the hymns. And yet he was dull of hearing. And Jack did not understand for years and almost waited until it was too late. And my fear is there are many more Jacks. I want to tell you about one more friend, and his name is Charlie. Charlie was a cynic. He had every reason not to believe. His past was filled with stories of pain and disappointment. As a result, his life was loaded with doubts. How in the world could God become a man? How could an intelligent person trust the Bible? And his questions went on and on. It seemed ad infinitum. Yet there was a difference between Jack and Charlie. Whereas Jack ran the other direction every time Jesus came his way, Charlie stopped. Charlie took a good look, a long look at his life and himself. He opened himself to allow the love of God and the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak to his inner man. He let those eyes probe his religious pretension, his preconceived ideas. He let that penetrating glance cut through the smokescreen of his doubt. And he was even willing to doubt his own doubts. And finally, Charlie took Jesus at his word and decided to make him the Lord of his life. I watched Charlie grow in faith over a couple of years. He became an inspiration to many and a true disciple of Christ. In fact, he committed his life to go on mission for 3 years. And even though he had many questions, and even though he had many preconceived ideas, he opened his heart and life to the truth of God. And the Holy Spirit led him to take up his cross and follow Jesus daily. This morning we are celebrating Palm Sunday again. We have the palm branches, and we have services planned throughout the week to help us prepare better for the celebration of Christ's resurrection. But let me ask you, what good is it if we are dull of hearing? What good is it if we have preconceived ideas about who our Savior wants to be in our lives? Trust me, you know this as well as I do. There are millions of people in this world, some who warm a pew week after week, and there are even many others who feel like that the path they're on, all paths will lead to God, and there are some who don't even care about a path. They are the king of their own life. They're in charge. Jesus is not even a part of their life, a part of their thinking, a part of their consideration. And this morning, I would just like to ask you, is your name Jack or is your name Charlie? You see, Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. So we must, in obedience to Christ's command, to take up our cross daily. And I want to tell you, even though we are celebrating Palm Sunday today, there was a dark hour all over Jerusalem, all over the earth. But the Bible says that our King is coming again. Are you listening? He's coming again. And we need to ask ourselves, what are we doing to prepare for His coming? I want to share a little story with you. A number of years ago, a man picked up a beautiful rock from a North Carolina stream bed and used it at his little cabin for a doorstop. It was there year after year. People came by. Once there was a geologist hiking through the woods and came up on the cabin. He was going to go through the door and immediately looked down. He saw that stone. And he immediately recognized it as a huge lump of gold. In fact, it is told that it's one of the largest gold nuggets ever found east of the Rockies. However, the owner missed it, and probably many more missed it as they passed it by. You see, the owner and many others who passed it by failed to recognize the gold because their conception, their preconceived ideas about gold was that it was a shiny metal. And even though they had examined it and passed it by many times, they did not see the shiny. The disciples and many of Jesus' followers in the first century and every century since have failed to recognize the true nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, the coming King, the Messiah, because we are dull of hearing, because we have preconceived ideas about what Jesus is supposed to do, how he's supposed to run our lives, how he's supposed to be active in our lives, what he's leading us to do. Jesus, don't make me do anything that may embarrass me or may not be with my culture, but may not be with my bringing up without my background. And yet Jesus just may be speaking for you to do exactly the opposite. We cannot become dull of hearing. We cannot let our preconceived ideas about what God and His Holy Son want us to do. We must hear the voice of God. The disciples and many of Jesus' followers in the first century, they could not hear. They lived their lives in expectation of what they thought God was supposed to do. And this morning I would ask, what about you? Do you really know who Jesus is? You see, the purpose of this message has been to make us aware of how dangerous and damaging it is for us not to strengthen our belief in Christ and His kingdom while we still have opportunity. We have to ask ourselves, do we really believe? Even today, there is a danger that maybe you have not been completely open to the voice of God or the truth of God. Is there any possibility that things in your life have weakened your belief and trust in Christ and His kingdom? I believe the Bible clearly teaches there is another dark hour that is coming prior to Christ's second coming. Just as the darkness came over the land during His crucifixion and caused many people to stumble, the Bible says the same shall happen in the latter days. There is a great falling away coming before Jesus is revealed at the second coming of Christ. Just as the people succumb to the pressure of the crowd in the days of Jesus to deny Him, the Bible teaches the same shall happen in the last days. Why? Why would we do that? Because many of Christ's followers' poorly established belief systems fail them. Because they don't understand Jesus fully, they shall fall away. And I'm probably a lot like other Christians. It's been a long time since I sat up at night waiting to see if Jesus is coming. I don't suggest that we do that, that we stay up every night waiting for Jesus to come, but I do say this. I think we need to make sure that we know why we're not sitting up and waiting, that we have the confidence that Jesus is active and that I am serving Him and I'm taking up my cross and I'm following Him daily. And it's because we are confident that we shall be in that number when He comes. I don't know about you, but when the roll is called up yonder, I want to be there. I don't know about you, but I don't want to let my preconceived ideas of Jesus get in the way of the truth. I don't want my dullness of hearing, because there's so much noise going on around me in the world in which we live, and especially during this election process, that we forget that Jesus is speaking to us in that still small voice. And I want to tell you today that if you're here and you've never heard that still small voice, you've never heard Him say, deny yourself. Accept me. take up your cross and follow me. And I will give you life everlasting. I will change your sorrow into joy. I'll help your disappointments become victories. I'll help your past become forgiven. And I will raise you up as a child of God to live in victory and to understand the great, great rewards of being a child of God. He's speaking to you today if you've never trusted him as your Savior. He's speaking to you today if you're a jack. Don't be satisfied with preconceived ideas. Don't be satisfied with giving a little offering. Don't be satisfied with religious tradition. Only be satisfied with the truth that Jesus in you is greater than he that is in the world. That's the promise of God. In closing, we find that Jesus rode toward the multitudes. And today, he's riding towards you. He's ready to look straight into your eyes. Are you ready for his glance? Because his glance demands a verdict. Where is your heart right now? Are you listening? Are you open? The King of Kings wants to know whether or not he truly is your King, your Savior. Will you shift your glance away? Or will there be a nod of affirmation which comes from one who is loyal in allegiance to the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, your King and your Savior? There is no substitute. There is no other way. Jesus, all through the Scripture, says, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. These are the words of Christ. Now you may think sitting in a pew will get you to heaven. You may think having your understanding of who Jesus is will get you to heaven. You may think that putting Jesus in his proper place in your life so that he doesn't take over will get you to heaven. But I'm here to tell you, the Bible says, take up your cross daily and follow me. If you're here this morning and you've become like Jack and you know your cross is somewhere, then you need to come forward this morning. Take me by the hand and recommit your life to Christ and taking up your cross. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, never come forth publicly and said, I want to take Jesus as my Savior, you come this morning, I'll pray with you. And maybe there's some other request. Maybe there's some other need in your life. Whatever it is, you come as we sing this hymn of invitation, as Christ leads you to come. Number 593, I lay my sins on Jesus. You come as the Holy Spirit leads you. Let's stand and sing that great hymn together.